welcome Hoosier fans to this week's edition of Assembly Call Radio, where each week we discuss the most important topics in the world of Indiana basketball. This is our 221st edition of Assembly Call Radio and our 721st episode overall of the Assembly Call, recorded on the evening of July 22nd, 2021. I'm your host, Andy Bottoms. And the sound has totally gone. This is where the banner moment would be. Here it is. There we are. And let's begin this edition of the Assembly Call how we begin every edition of the Assembly Call, albeit a little belatedly, and that is with our Hoosier Proud banner moment.
And Indiana is the national champion.
When it comes down, Indiana will be champion.
Martin takes the shot.
The Hoosiers have won the national championship.
Well, this week's banner moment, there are not a ton of options for. I guess I'll throw out a few potential. One is the IU player reunion that took place over the weekend slash early this week. And what was interesting about that was that it seemed like a really good cross-section of different eras that were there, which I think is something that a lot of people have talked about, trying to reunite and have it less be about, you know, Bob Knight's guys versus Mike Davis's versus Kelvin Sampson versus, you know, Archie Miller, Tom Crean, things like that. It seemed like, at least from the some of the pictures that were shared, some of the videos from the Hoosier Hysterics guys that were there or tried to be there, as it were, I thought it seemed like a good mix of that, which is important, something Mike Woodson talked about wanting to do, and I think a good early sign that hopefully that will happen. The other couple things I would throw out are more on the NIL front. First was that Trace Jackson Davis has a shirt out with the Shop Indy, I believe. And then today, word came out about an impending shirt that's coming up from our friends at Homefield and Taiwan Mullen. So excited for that. Perhaps a way for Connor and the team there at Homefield to get back in everyone's good graces after this the Kentucky rollout last weekend. So perhaps good timing for them in advance of the Tennessee rollout that's coming this weekend. But interested to see what they're able to do, and good opportunity to both support a business, all kidding aside, that has supported us and that we have really enjoyed a good partnership with in Homefield, and also a football player that we've all enjoyed watching play so far in his IU career in Taiwan Mullen. So interested to see what that looks like. More to come on that, I'm sure. So with that, let me introduce my esteemed co-hosts for this week. They are to my left.
Days when a movie cost a dollar. Heaven help you if you ever decide to pop your collar. Play hard, but remember, fake hustle is a crime. He's the coach and it's Tonsoni time.
Coach, good to see you again this week. I'll open this up for reviews of the Clayton Anderson show that you went to last week. Whatever else you want to share with us tonight.
It's been a good summer to get out to a ball game and to a concert. So the Tonsoni boys and Amy enjoyed a concert last weekend, and it was much needed. So it was good that way. The thing for me this week was, again, the reunion of the IU basketball players, and specifically Coach Knight, seeing pictures of Coach Knight. You know, it's just good to see him back doing things with Indiana University. It's a controversial person, the way it ended, and people, you know, wanted that to happen, not wanted it to happen, say certain things about how he acted, but he was a great coach, just a flat-out great coach, and made Indiana basketball the brand that we're fighting to get back to, regardless of any of the negatives. He can coach man-to-man defense, the motion offense, just a lot, but when you're a coach and you go back and see your players, there's nothing better than that, regardless of how long you've been away or the circumstances that caused that separation. And that's one of the things that is really what I enjoy about coaching myself is seeing those former players coming back, either at games, stopping by the house, contacting on social media. That is just special. And I know that he's struggling with his health. He's just got to appreciate all of those moments. And I'm glad that he can appreciate that and not still hold Indiana University away because of what happened. So that was a huge moment for me to see that. And as you said, we're trying to get that Indiana basketball family feeling back again. And one of the benefits of bringing Coach Woodson in is that maybe we all can start moving in that same direction of supporting the team and not being as splintered as in the past. That's a big wish, but an event like that is maybe the start. So, and I know they've done that in the past as well, but it just seems that Indiana basketball is a little bit different, and I'm enjoying that.
All right. And to my right. He is from Crimson Cast, our good friend Galen Clavio, the host of Crimson Cast, the head of Indiana Sports Media Department, and the world's foremost connoisseur of tailgate delicacies. I even saw, I believe, a call in the chat for a potential coach and Galen tailgate episode to get us ready for football season. So in an off season where we're sometimes looking for topics, don't be surprised if we tap you guys on the shoulder for just such a thing. Although Galen had you guys used a decent segment of a Crimson Cast recently to give some of those updates. So I definitely encourage people to go back and listen to that. I enjoyed it quite a bit. So Galen, welcome. You're joining us for a brief period tonight, but wanted to get your thoughts on some of the realignment talk. But anything IU related on your mind?
Yeah, no. I mean, well, first of all, great to be back, guys. Thank you. And it's funny, the tailgate food segments have suddenly become the most popular part of Crimson Cast, which makes people think they might not be coming for the analysis. But that's fine, you know, whatever. You guys both chose the IU basketball reunion. So I'm going to go with today. We had, of course, Big Ten Media Day for football. And that to me is always kind of the unofficial start of the season. We now have about a 6-week stint of practices and anticipation as we get ready for the football season. But the thing that I thought was the best about today was the people's coach, Tom Allen, making the rounds in Indianapolis, not just going to media, but like stopping by the tap on Mass Ave and I think popping into a couple of other spots and getting IU fans fired up. I think that's great. It's funny to me how much Allen has embraced that role, not just of energetic guy on the sidelines, but almost it's almost like a religious figure to some degree, like, you know, being able to like galvanize the masses and bring them in and get them excited about things. So that's great to see. And we've seen that a bunch with Allen over the course of the last couple of years, especially, and it really feels like now with a really good football team behind him, he's really leaning into that role.
Yeah, I agree. It's the religious figure is an interesting one, but he's definitely embraced every single bit of what he has built, what his role is, and things like that. I like the people's coach as well. So,
let's get that on a T-shirt, please.
Absolutely, absolutely. All right. So this week we're going to cover a few things. We're going to talk a little bit about some of the conference realignment news that has bubbled up a bit over the course of the week, and that's one that we wanted to get Galen's thoughts on, and more specifically about kind of how that might impact the Big Ten. And the second one, there's a few random topics that got some good discussion going in our community, so I wanted to talk through those a bit, and then we'll answer your questions as we always do coming up this week on Assembly Call Radio. So you know, potential realignment news that came out this week around Texas and Oklahoma potentially going to the SEC. Saw some before I got on, there was some source that was talking about other teams in the Big 12 wanting to really understand why you know, they would want to leave, which feels like that should be a relatively short investigation, but who's to say where that shakes out. But I guess Galen, you addressed some of this on Twitter, but maybe talk a little bit about how those potential moves as they're being discussed might have some domino effects that would impact the Big Ten as well, potentially.
Yeah, this is a big one. You know, it's funny, the last time we went through this was about 10 years ago, and it was really the Big Ten that was the straw stirring the drink as far as realignment. First Nebraska, and then of course Rutgers and Maryland, and everybody just kind of jumped in after that and tried to grab who they could. You know, Texas A&M and Mizzou moving to the SEC. it's a different ball game this time around. And it really feels like if this is to come to pass, and I know there's some questions about it right now that we need to be maybe tapping the brakes just slightly. But if it does come to pass, the Texas and Oklahoma end up leaving the Big 12 for the SEC, that's a real problem for the Big 10. And the reason for that is really a couple of different avenues. One, this is now, I think, in college sports, a situation where, even more so than before, money and television markets and overall product and competitiveness and recruiting areas are paramount, particularly in football. And football is really the only thing, I think, that truly stirs the pot with college athletics at this point. Yes, there's basketball, but basketball is kind of a drop in the bucket from a financial perspective. Football is really the important thing. For the Big Ten to allow themselves to get outflanked on this and to allow a Texas program that I think, you know, the Big Ten had designs on, the Pac-12 had designs on, Texas had kind of operated on its own, but everybody more or less figured that it would just be a matter of time until the Big 12 broke up in one form or another. You know, the Big Ten just, I don't think, can afford to have Texas go to the SEC because it provides the SEC with essentially completely unfettered access to not just that recruiting area, but all of the media markets in that area. It brings in the audience and the revenues that you would normally be getting through a standalone Longhorn network, which, while we joke about the Longhorn network, is still a pretty sizable amount of money. And it essentially makes you look at the Big Ten and just kind of shrug your shoulders because it's like, well, yeah, you've got a few power football schools, but they're all pretty much located in the same spot in the country. You've got a relatively small geographic area that you're covering, and you don't really have any room for expansion. Zach Osterman, in his piece in the Indy Star this evening, I think did a good job of spelling this out. If this comes to pass, the Big Ten doesn't have a whole lot of other options unless they want to like raid the Pac-12 or raid the ACC, neither of which is really going to produce much in the way of geographic fit, and it's going to make for some very odd-looking conference tie-ins and affiliations. So, you know, there's some questions out of Big 12 territory tonight about, you know, is this 100% a done deal that they're going to leave? You know, what ends up being the end game with all of this? But as of right now, if this story ends up holding up, I'm pretty concerned about where the Big 10 ends up landing in the pecking order. This like pretty solidly puts them behind the SEC across the board.
Yeah. So let's kind of, well, I'll ask a question on both sides. So let's talk the first one. I mean, is there anything that you think at this point would be done that would stop those two from leaving the Big 12 to go someplace else and maybe not to the SEC or something, but does anything kind of stop the train that's rolling in this direction, or is that kind of too late at this point?
No. I don't think it's too late. Although I will say the fact that it leaked the way that it did tells me that we're a lot further down the road than we might've thought that we were. This isn't like a rumor that, you know, someone in a staff meeting talked about in Austin. Like this looks like it got leaked by Texas A&M because they're sore about Texas wanting to join the SEC, which tells us that we've gotten to some fairly advanced parts of the backroom negotiations. But that said, I believe that both schools are tied into the Big 12 until their media rights agreement ends in 2025, which is still 4 years away. So that might give some wiggle room. There were some interesting pieces today that came out, one by, I think it's Chip Brown of the whatever the site is that covers Texas, and they're all over everything all the time. They do a great job with that site. But one of the things that they talked about was you could see Fox, for instance, jump in and say, "Hey, Texas and Oklahoma, why don't you become independent? We will give you a revenue deal that is commensurate with however much you need to make it financially work, and we will at that point fill your schedule with Big 10 and Pac-12 teams because we have the contracts with both of those organizations." That's one potential. That sounds outlandish, like Texas and Oklahoma just deciding to become independent, but that might make more sense for them because I think they're looking around and saying, we really don't want to be shackled to these bozos you know, the other schools in the Big 12. We want to make money, and we don't want to, you know, have to give money to Kansas State. We don't want to give money to Iowa State. We just want to keep what we're making for ourselves. That might be an arrangement that would allow them to do so. And which is, I mean, that sounds mercenary. That's not that different from what Notre Dame currently does. So, you know, I wouldn't laugh at it too much. So there's things like that. You certainly could see the Big Ten and the Pac-12 as conferences jump in. Something that's important to keep in mind is that we nearly had the dissolution of the Big 12 during the last round of realignment 10 years ago. And it was actually ESPN that stepped in and kept that from happening, gave the Big 12 a deal, gave Texas the Longhorn Network, and essentially tried to keep it from becoming purely a four-conference college football hierarchy. So I think whether it's Fox, ESPN, or one of the other conferences, they're going to move water and fire and earth to try to keep the SEC from gaining such a big competitive advantage with this. I just don't know if it's going to matter because, frankly, there's a lot of reasons why Texas and Oklahoma would want to be in the SEC. And so that's going to be the big question mark, is like, who can move the needle the most on this?
So let's play it out in the other direction. Let's assume that they do end up in the SEC. What is the Big Ten's next move in terms of who they might attempt to add, or kind of what their reaction to that would be?
Well, I mean, obviously the first name that comes to mind is one I just mentioned earlier, which would be Notre Dame, because they're in your backyard. They're in the conference for hockey. Not that that matters a whole lot. But they're in the ACC ecosystem, but I don't know that they are necessarily, if they'd wanted to join the ACC, they would have joined the ACC by now. And yes, I know they kind of did this last year and they're technically in it for basketball, but you know, I think if you're the Big Ten, you have to have a very serious conversation with Notre Dame and say, look, we've danced around on this for a long time. We need to figure out a way to make this work because it's going to make you stronger and it's going to make us stronger. Does Notre Dame go for that? I don't know. I could see arguments for them and saying, yeah, no, we're fine where we are. Outside of that, I mean, I'm seeing some people in chat suggest, oh, yeah, let's get some of the schools that are going to be in this deconstituted Big 12. There's frankly nothing about any of the remaining schools in the Big 12 that would add anything of real value from an academic or athletic perspective to the Big 10. I think if you don't get Notre Dame, you got to either try to dive deeper into ACC territory, maybe revive the Virginia talks. I don't think Virginia is going to leave, but at least revive it. Maybe look at Pitt and see if they would be interested. One idea that I don't think is that crazy, even though it sounds crazy, is look at some of the top Pac-12 schools and see if you want to go coast to coast on some of this stuff. You know, because USC, UCLA, Washington, Stanford, those are some issues for those schools that they're not happy with their current situation, similar to how Texas and Oklahoma have not been happy with the Big 12 in that situation. So, if you can't peel back this Texas Oklahoma thing, if it ends up happening and you can't get Notre Dame, you got to do something a little bit more radical. And, you know, we'll just have to see how that plays out. But I think there's some interesting things there that you could examine.
Galen, do you go, if you go that way, do you focus on football? As you said earlier, getting football schools, or, you know, you look at Kansas, doesn't add much football wise, but does add, or is it a total athletic department thing? To me, it might have to be football related, and then that's going to spread you out across the country. It's not necessarily a Midwest type thing anymore.
Kansas fit right in the Big Ten West. I don't know what you're talking about, Coach.
Yeah, well,
yeah.
I mean, football-wise, if Kansas's athletic department wasn't such a dumpster fire right now, then maybe there'd be an argument. But yeah, I mean, look. Ultimately, the Big Ten could add basketball schools right now if they wanted to. Like, they could go add UConn. UConn would crawl over broken glass to get into the Big Ten. You know, you could add – there's any one of a number of good basketball schools that you could add, but that doesn't do anything for you in terms of what actually generates revenue and spreads you out. I mean, it's – we're, you know, growing up in Indiana, living in Indiana, being Indiana athletics fans, so much has been focused on the basketball as being the primary thing. We're still kind of figuring out what all of this football stuff is all about as we have a team, you know, in the top 10 of the AP poll. But that's really what's moving the needle. And that's why the Big Ten added Penn State when they did. It's why they added Nebraska when they did. I mean, those were very much football additions. They were not basketball additions. So, yeah, as much as I'd love to say there was a great addition that you could bring into the conference that would give you both, there really isn't at this point. And you have to go with the side where you're being most, you know, directly challenged. And right now that's football with the SEC.
The one thing, and I don't know any of the comings and goings of all this, but as a fan, I've always just I did not want to see 16-team conferences dominate the landscape in college athletics from a scheduling standpoint of who do you play and your cross conference games and even when you go down to baseball or basketball or your non-football, it's just the scheduling, and it takes away rivalries, and it's 5 years between playing a Minnesota or something. And I'm old, so that tradition, you know, is out the window a little bit. But it does, from a fan standpoint, seem like super conferences are needed for money. But boy, it makes scheduling and building those year in and year out rivalries a little difficult.
It does, and certainly for those of us who grew up in the 70s or 80s or 90s, it's a different world. But it's, I think, where we were always going to go once money and especially television contracts started entering into the system to the degree that they did during that same time period. And, you know, we've been through four or five major rounds of conference realignment and moving around really since 1990. And I think it's going to continue to happen. I mentioned on Twitter, you know, if you want to understand college athletics from a financial perspective, you really need to study the Cold War as opposed to studying anything in, like, you know, athletic administration, because this is essentially a big game of risk. It's a game of one-upsmanship and blocking your opponent from getting into particular territories and owning enough territories where you get extra armies every turn. You know, I mean, it's really, yes, the competitions do suffer, but I also think that we, you know, it's distasteful to talk about, but ultimately something pays for all of this. And that something is the money that you're generating off the football contracts. And, you know, the Big Ten did a lot of good things with forming the Big Ten Network, with expanding when they did, to the point that even as recently as last year, they were able to distribute about $9 million more per school in television revenue than the SEC was. But the problem is that you add Texas and Oklahoma, and suddenly it's the SEC distributing $10 million more to their schools. And on top of that, they've also been far and away the dominant program in football. The Big Ten has had a couple of sniffs, but generally speaking has, I think, rightly been perceived as the weaker of the two conferences. And so it is sad from a traditional standpoint and from a competitive standpoint, but it's also the name of the game. And at this point, we can't look backwards, I think, because the people that look backwards end up having what just happened to the Big 12 happen to them eventually.
When's it stop? I mean, is there a magic number of conference teams? Is 16 the number? Does it go to 18 to 20?
I had a radical idea yesterday. Let's just merge the Big Ten and the Pac-12. Maybe kick the, you know, like Washington State out or something like that, but like merge those two together and just have a big super conference that has their football championship game in the Rose Bowl every year. Why not? Like it at this point, I think we need to just kind of leave behind our original conceptualization of what an athletic conference looks like. To me, what it ends up looking like, Coach, is kind of like what European soccer looks like, where you have a Premier League and you have a La Liga and you have a Bundesliga and a Serie A, and maybe you don't have promotion relegation, although maybe you do, but you have these, you know, four primary leagues, and that's where most of the talent exists. And yes, you can get a team that pops up out of another league and does really well in a given year, but ultimately power is concentrated in those conferences, and they're probably bigger. You know, maybe they are 18 or 20 teams. To some point, it's like, if you're not playing everybody in your conference every year, why not have a 20-team conference? Like, what are you losing at that point? And that, you know, so from my perspective, it's like a business partnership as opposed to a organizing body of athletic competition. And if you're going to look at it as a business partnership, you want to make your business as big and diversified as you possibly can. And so it would be weird to have a 20-team Big Ten, but it might be preferable from a business standpoint to what we've got right now.
Cool. Well, Galen, we really appreciate you hopping on with us and talking about this. It's a lot. I think it's easy to, you know, kind of view it as a not my problem type situation, and that it doesn't really impact the Big Ten. But I think as you kind of talked about, there's other dominoes that would certainly fall in that scenario, and we'll be interested to see how it all plays out over the next years, as mentioned with the contract, really. So we'll kind of see what happens, but always good to get your perspective on something like that. So with that, we'll take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about a few interesting discussion topics that came up in our community recently. So we'll do that when we come back here on Assembly Call Radio. Stick with us.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
All right. Galen, thanks again.
Awesome.
Chat,
thanks.
Thanks, Galen.
I want to answer Kent's question really quick before I go. Kent asked, would the SEC kick out any schools such as Vandy to keep the conference size from getting too big? And that last answer I gave, I think that hopefully answers that question. There's no need to. Like, an 18 or 20 team SEC works just fine. It's just more television inventory at this point. Even people even watch Vanderbilt, as shocking as it is. So anyway, got Andy, Coach, Chat Mob, thanks so much for having me again, and we'll talk again soon.
All right, sounds good. Thanks, Galen. Yeah, definitely. As everybody gets ramped up for football, like I said, Scott and Galen have had a couple shows recently. They had Dustin Dupirak on this week, so if you want to, kind of scratch your itch for IU football, they're right there for everybody to do that. So, but like I said, always good perspective from him on some of these larger college athletics topics. So.
Good, you know, I wasn't a fan of expansion, never has been, but I've been to Penn State and enjoyed, going to Penn State for a couple IU football games. I missed my opportunity in Nebraska last year, but I'm going to go. So, I get it. It's just, you have 16 teams in a conference and you got 12 games and everyone wants to play three non-conference games. You're playing nine out of 15 possible opponents in your conference. It's not a conference. It's organization more than anything else. Or go big enough to where you just play your division.
Yeah.
Don't worry about crossovers, right? And fair schedules and all that stuff.
Yeah. I mean, if you ended up with 20 and you had two divisions with 10, then you play all nine of your opponents. And then you have, I guess, at least at that, you're not having home and home against everybody. But even if you did that from a basketball standpoint, maybe you do that. Yeah. I thought that what he said at the end was interesting, because it's kind of like you've already, whatever sanctity you felt like there was in the home and home against everybody, like that ship has sailed and you're just getting further away from it, but you've already abandoned that part of it already, to your point earlier. You're not playing everybody. So, who knows? It'll be interesting to see. Obviously, as is with the case every time this realignment stuff comes off, there are so many iterations of what it could look like, will look like, rumors and all that, especially when you look at that TV contract out there for 4 years to sort through it. It will take on many forms between now and however it shakes out in the long run. So good off-season topic, if nothing else. So, all right. So you ready to hit these other other topics?
Yep.
All right.
I don't mind your 10:30 limit. I got to get up, drive to LaPorte to visit my mom tomorrow. So,
cool. All right.
Yeah, I'm willing to fire away.
May not need that long anyway. So we'll. All right. We'll hit these topics and kind of go from there. So, here we go.
Hi, this is Jawan Morgan. What's the only thing better than getting IU's first triple-double in 47 years? Celebrating it with friends afterwards. Join Jared, Andy, Ryan, and Coach on the assembly call after every IU basketball game. Go Hoosiers.
And welcome back to the assembly call. How do you keep up with the fire hose of information that comes out almost every day about IU basketball? Some would say the fire hose might have a bit of a kink in it. Over these last couple weeks, but certainly can be crazy during the offseason, even crazier during the season, and we've got your back. Send out a free weekly email newsletter on Sunday mornings, which rounds up the most important and interesting IU basketball stories from the previous week to keep you up to date on your Hoosiers. Over 8,000 of your fellow IU fans are already on the list, and we want you to be on there as well. So go to join.assemblycall.com to subscribe for free now. That's join.assemblycall.com. You can also text IU to 66866. Again, that's IU to 66866. All right, I'm Andy Bottoms here with the coach, Brian Tonsoni, and thought that we would expand on a couple topics that came up in our discussion community over the course of the last week or so. Actually, I think some of these were a little bit longer, but had a lot of good engagement from people, so figured we would talk about them a little bit. This first one we've touched on at least a little when we did some of the other NIL stuff, but the question was essentially, now that NIL changes are here, with all of its benefits to athletes, what is the biggest potential unintended consequence that worries you? So, Coach, what kind of comes to your mind, you know, and maybe that's changed over the last few weeks is, you know, we've learned a little bit more about it. But in terms of unintended consequences, what are some potential pitfalls that you might see?
Yeah, they're all pitfalls that kind of already exist, only it now deals with money. I mean, there could be problems with who's playing and who's not playing, you know, who takes the last shot. Those are traditional athletic team issues. Did you over recruit me or whatever else? But does it cause an issue where a player is not happy? You know, so I don't think that's a reason not to do NIL by any means. I think the players deserve the money they're getting. I think they deserve to have t-shirts and excited about seeing Taiwan Mullen with home field. That excites me. And I've changed in the last 2 or 3 years from more traditional place like that. But the unintended consequences would be that a loss of revenue for athletic departments in general, although we just got done saying they're making a lot of money anyway. So why not give it to the kids? I don't really see a whole lot wrong with this, unless it just gets to be you get some people who like to, you know, throw away their money in large amounts and it becomes absurd. You know, you get paid $1 million to do one commercial or something like that, and it's not really a student building a brand and working with a company and advertising for a company and doing all that. It's just here's some free money because I can do that now. But so I think there's going to have to be some structure built in a little bit maybe to prevent that, but that's all that I can see at this moment.
Yeah, I think, you know, a couple of the ones that have been out there, I think you touched on a bit, which was, you know, how do you deal with the inherent inequity that will be there between star player maybe making this much money, 12th man making this much. I think we've touched on that one a little bit.
Yeah.
I think another potential one is, you know, does this start to distract guys from the sport that they're playing and some of those things? Does it kind of take over too much of their attention? Which I think is possible. And I tend to go back on some of this stuff to, you know, that's kind of a life lesson in some ways, which ultimately is what some of this should be doing. And I, you know, hesitate to put the greater good of an athletic program kind of over the, you know, obviously anything can get to an extreme, but if that teaches somebody a lesson about managing time and priorities and things like that, you know, part of that is the education that I feel like you should be getting in that college scenario. If it crosses a line, I think the coach is going to understand that. But I think there will be some pitfalls, but hopefully those become real life learning opportunities as opposed to anything more than that.
And that's my point. Like, these problems exist already, just in different form. I mean, girls, you know, dating, relationships, booze, drinking too much. And I mean, you know, those all can interfere in a program. If people pay too much attention to those things, the party scene, too much attention to their brand and don't go in and get up shots. Well, eventually, you know, you teach those kids, like you said, a lesson. Well, your brand's going to be reduced because you're not making shots in the game and you're not playing anymore. You still have to be a productive member for the most part to keep increasing your brand. So, I don't see too many pitfalls other than it's just something new to add to the plate of athletic administrations and coaching staffs. But, you know, so far, I think it's been a relative positive thing. I like seeing guys, you know, doing media events and commercials and stuff like that. I just think that with the money and this conference alignment stuff that we just talked about, it's all about money. I don't find much wrong with the NIL.
What are your thoughts on Dominic had this in the chat, kind of worried about a move too far towards a me first culture within a team sport. So as a coach, how would you try to keep some of that in check? And is that really a crack that would already have been there and this just, you know, exposes it in that regard? Like, you kind of, to your point, is this a problem that you would potentially have even in the absence of NIL?
The answer is yes, but it's just different now because money's involved, and money is, you know, greed does a lot of things to a lot of people in society. So it's, to me, it's just an added piece. I think we already belong to a me first culture. I play AAU. I expect to come into IU and play right away. And then if I don't play right away, you know, mom and dad and Uncle Jim are all mad at the coaching staff. And now there's just another layer of, well, Coach Woodson and staff got so-and-so $50,000 commercial, you know, with the car dealership and didn't. So I think the me first culture is there. It's there in society and business. It's there in schools. It's there all around. We got to counter it with actively preaching team, and then understanding that collectively when we win, then, you know, everyone gets a little piece of the pie when you win. Because right now, if you play for Gonzaga, you're going to be a little more wanted than if you play for someone who is 5-22. You might get some deals in those communities, but if you win, and you win at a lot of schools, you are forever going to be remembered. And I just think that it's just another thing that a coach has to deal with. But you got to preach it, and hopefully you have kids who are characters, good characters, not bad characters, who can help each other out and go to class and do all those things. So it's just another layer to deal with.
Yeah, I think the couple other, you know, kind of some of this, play two sides of the same thing here. You know, one of them, and I don't think this is a bad unintended consequence, but I think you've seen, you know, a handful of players come out and do some things for the benefit of different charitable organizations and things like that maybe they wouldn't have been able to do. Do things to give back to the community a little bit. I know Allie Patberg, I think, has a basketball skills thing that doing in the community, you wouldn't be able to do that, or you wouldn't be able to get paid for that and do some of that and use your name and all those kinds of things. I think those are positive things from a community standpoint. I think the, you know, potential negative unintended consequence of something like that, which again is another learning opportunity, is somebody inevitably is going to sign up to support an organization, to, you know, support a product or a company that things are going to come out about that may not be something that you end up wanting to be associated with. And you either didn't do your homework, you didn't know, you didn't, you know, and I think there's the opportunity for them to be taken advantage of in some of these scenarios if they're really not careful. Unless it's to the extreme, it just feels like a learning opportunity to do some of that. But you haven't really seen that yet, or at least I haven't heard any of those kinds of cautionary tales. But, you know, I think that's one potential one. But I also think, you know, on the charitable side of things, I think there's some really good opportunity to kind of use their status now in a way that they wouldn't have been able to do before, or the NCAA would have made very difficult to do in the past.
You know, the other thing, Andy, you just made me think about is, you know, these athletes get criticized a lot and get, you know, tweeted at and Instagram DMs for their play and their basketball. You have a company that someone doesn't agree with, and you endorse that company. It does expose the young athlete a little bit more to the business side, to the real world. And as you said, you just got to turn it into a learning lesson. And I don't know if that's Coach Woodson's job, but I do think a good university, good athletic department is well ahead of these and has counselors available, business counselors, guidance counselors, people to understand if someone gets in a situation and it turns a little bit for the worse, how to help people get out of them and care for your athlete that a normal 19-year-old starting a business probably would not have. So there's some benefits from being on a college that has the best interest of these athletes in mind too. But that's going to be the one where you support something or you sign up for something and it becomes controversial in some way, and then, you know, you wanted to go play basketball and now you're answering questions about, you know, this social issue or something that pops up that can be again. It's just like in life. It's the same thing. You and I say something or do something publicly as a teacher. If I were to advocate for something that wasn't appreciated in our community, I'd be called before the school board. Don't like school boards. But, so we're all responsible that way. And sometimes the best way to learn it is by being a mistake. So I don't think any of the stuff that we've talked about, again, is a reason to panic about NIL changing the way, you know, basketball will be played and March Madness and the Selection Sunday and all that stuff. I don't see it impacting it any way other than maybe recruiting and transferring to places or away from places that aren't providing the NIL opportunities.
Yep. All right. So moving on to the next topic. So if these athletes sold self-shares like stocks, which could grow in value and earn dividends on future earnings, whose are you buying the most of? So I'm not going to give you the other. There was an other option for this one, but we won't dive into that. So the options were Trayce Jackson-Davis, Michael Penix, Tamar Bates, and Taiwan Mullen. And the percentages were all within 10% of each other. But if you're, kind of buying stock and where they are now and these guys, which of those guys did you go with?
I'm going with Taiwan Mullen. And I think he had the NFL – we've seen Tracy Porter. We've seen players come from IU and have a really good run in the NFL. And I think he is so good that he has a chance to get drafted maybe, you know, in the top, you know, 2-3 rounds and make a good career where the others either haven't had that college atmosphere like Tamar Bates yet. We don't know what his level is. And the NBA, the basketball guys just have a much tougher time breaking into the league. You can be really good and have to end up going to Europe for a while where you make some good money. But I think if I were trying to make the most, I think Taiwan has the best chance. Penix, I believe, is a little bit more injury prone, and the fact that the quarterback position is so tight I don't know that Taiwan is going to be the best in the long run. I think Penix could be or Trayce Jackson-Davis, but I think right now I get a little more bang for my buck with Taiwan because I think he's guaranteed to be in the NFL.
Some guy has just wandered onto the screen, which is a little unsettling. But
Jared, welcome. We got Zoom bombs or whatever.
What's up, fellas?
Who are you?
What is happening? Oh, my goodness. It's good to be back. Bedtime. My wife had the great idea. We should do bedtime a little bit early tonight. We did a little bit earlier. Things went well, so fingers crossed. It's good to be here.
Good. Well, Jared, your screenshot of this in the run sheet captured your answer. So would you like to give everybody your answer and your thought process as to why to this particular question?
Is this the – wait,
this which is the which stock, question the is stock this? One. Sorry.
The stock one. Oh, yes.
So TJD, Tamar Bates, Taiwan Mullen, Michael Penix were the options. I took the other off the table for the purposes of this.
Yeah, really, it kind of depends on what you're looking for. Are you looking for kind of the highest upside? Because I would say the highest upside is Penix. Because if everything goes well for Penix, you know, and he becomes a starting quarterback in the NFL, which is, I would say, unlikely, but possible, certainly. He's got the highest upside. Now, you know, if Trayce Jackson-Davis can figure out how to shoot and can turn himself into an NBA player, he's got some pretty good upside too. But I tend to think that the safer bets would be Tamar Bates or Taiwan Mullen. And given the fact that Tamar seems a little bit undersized for the kind of player he would be at the professional level, I would probably go with Taiwan. He seems like the safest. Although, since I've been the one driving the Michael Penix for Heisman train, maybe I just need to go all in and go for Penix.
perhaps. Yeah, I lean toward Mullen. I think I leaned away from Tamar Bates, who you could probably get the cheapest. So maybe that is the play here. But you also haven't seen him do it at the college level versus at least the other guys you have. Penix one, to your point, is intriguing because of the ceiling, but I think the health concerns scare most people off. And then with TJD, yeah, it's a little bit of an unknown, because it's really, in that case, if you're taking him, it's kind of a bet on Mike Woodson in a roundabout way, in that he can have him take a jump from a production standpoint, from a skill standpoint, that would allow him to do so much more than what we've already seen him do, versus, you know, he seems the closest to being a finished product in some regard of the guys that are on there. But
yeah.
So anyway, all right. Next one we got. All right. So you get to guarantee that one of these two events will happen this season. The catch is that the other event will not happen. So your options are IU beats.
This is probably the best / most difficult poll question I've ever come up with in the community.
Yes. So your options are IU basketball beats Purdue at least once, or IU football beats Ohio State.
Right. Jared, so you can guarantee that one's going to happen, but the other one does not happen.
You know it will
so
not.
You can happen. Only have one of them. You know it will not happen. So you can't say like, oh, well, I think Indiana has a chance to beat Purdue, so I'll take the Ohio State one. No. If you're taking the Ohio State side, you're saying that you're going with Indiana losing to Purdue. That's what makes it difficult.
Yes.
It's a really hard question.
So, Jared, who do you want in this one? Which side did you go on here?
I mean, I would have to go with beating Purdue in basketball, because I just can't possibly live through another one of those. Plus, you know, my bias is towards basketball a little bit. You know, my dad was part of the last staff that beat Ohio State. So it's like a little point of pride that they were the last ones to beat Ohio State. But I still want to beat Ohio State really bad in football. I think both of them could happen. But if I had to pick one, I would say the Purdue thing, man. We can't go another year without beating Purdue in basketball. We just can't. You know, if we don't beat Ohio State in football, it's like, okay, you know, this stupid streak, we'll get them at some point, but it's not devastating. If we get swept again by Purdue in basketball, that's devastating. So I want to avoid devastation.
Coach?
Oh, I can't stand Purdue. It's Purdue. I'm sorry. I know a lot of people in the chat mob are saying Ohio State, but Purdue just absolutely sucks. And I'm tired of them winning. I'm sick and tired of going over to West Lafayette and getting my rear end beat. Sick and tired of having a losing record in the Big Ten. Come on. This is a basketball show. Yeah. It's all about basketball. And it is about time to turn this thing around and start beating their rear ends left and right and go 11-1 and lose to Ohio State and go to the Rose Bowl or something like that. Ohio State goes to the championship. It'd still be a great year. And it's a basketball show. I'm a basketball coach. It's a state of Indiana. It's basketball. We need to own the state. It's easily give me guarantees to beat Purdue.
Yeah.
Yeah. I probably land the same place, just because the way it's stated would mean that you get swept by Purdue again. Now, the flip side of that is this year, at least the way Purdue projects in basketball, if you beat them at least once, from Coach and I's perspective, good bracketology bump and a good line on your resume. If you lose both, it doesn't hurt you from that standpoint, but it hurts you emotionally. I will say I do have probably a different level of disdain for Ohio State than you guys do, having lived in Ohio for the past more years than I can count. 20 years? 21 years? Good Lord.
Gosh.
So I do have a perhaps a stronger distaste for them than than you guys would. I would still probably side with basketball, but I have a feeling it would be closer for me than it would the two of you. I would be, especially if we still live toward Cleveland, where Ohio State is like treated like a professional team. I would be doing victory laps on that for a while, but I'll go. So all right, I see you're posting Tyler's thing. If IU beats Ohio State, we have a good shot at the Big Ten title. Don't have a shot at the Big Ten title in basketball. Fair.
What is this defeatist attitude from Tyler? This is a new era. This is the Mike Woodson era. Like, is a Big Ten title likely? No, probably not. I wouldn't bet on it. But this team at least has a roster now with a ceiling where you look at it, and it's got a chance. Like, it's not that we don't have a shot at a Big Ten title. You know, the teams at the top of the Big Ten are not so elite that you just look at it and like, it's like, whoa, this is... You know, this is the Wisconsin team with Frank Kaminsky and Sam Decker. This is, you know, this isn't one of those seasons. Like, there's some good teams in the Big Ten. Purdue's going to be good. You know, Ohio State's going to be good. Michigan's going to be good. And we will probably finish somewhere between 4 and 7, I would say. But we have some upside. You know, I think we have actually Big Ten title upside. I don't know if we'll hit it, but we have the upside. So don't give me this. We don't have a shot at it. I don't want to hear that stuff. Come on. I come on here and within 3 minutes, someone's saying we don't have a shot at a Big Ten title.
Wow. You got a lot of pent up optimism that you just haven't been able to share with everyone. I feel like maybe that's
I have some thoughts.
There are many people saying that if it was IU sweeps Purdue, then it's a much easier answer, which I think we'd all agree with.
Well, yes, that would be easier.
Fantastic. Nice. All right.
Tyler, I got some drinks for you at the tailgate. Getting ripped on the show. We'll have some drinks for you.
I love Tyler.
He's great, man. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I it would be interesting just because it's hard to look at outside of context. I mean, you would think that if you assume that IU could beat Ohio State in football, that would also assume they would be beating everyone. But I know you can't really assume that with the way the question is, in which case that's a totally different ballgame. But
I don't even think that's a safe assumption for football because the schedule is so tough. I mean, you could play really well and beat Ohio State. And with this schedule, Indiana could be really good, beat Ohio State, and still lose 3 or 4 games because they're playing some really good teams, you know? So I don't know that I would assume that if they beat Ohio State.
Yeah. So,
but all right. Maybe.
Never know. Never know. All right. All right. Well, when we come back, we've got a bunch of questions, including the mediocre question from Jay Horry, who in the chat is disappointed that Galen's not still here. And some other questions from the people in our community. So we'll hit those next when we come back. Stick with us here on the Assembly Call.
Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Wow. I will state for the record that 2 minutes after getting on here, I heard my son crying in the background. My wife went up and got him, so we're all good.
I heard Mrs. Tonsoni crying. I didn't move a bit, just letting her go up there. she's old enough to figure it out on her own.
Well, your post-show chasing may not go quite as well then.
Yeah. No, there hasn't been any of that for a while.
All right, so we got
Andy. I did add one at the very bottom, which is a pretty good basketball question. If you wanted to move it up, it came in while we were doing the first segment.
Okay,
about practice time. It's more basketball specific one.
All right, I will.
I'll do some shout outs here at the beginning. We'll move through some of these shout outs.
Okay. All right, I didn't know if you had any or not, so I will.
I didn't put them on there, but I've got them here in front of me.
I'll play the sound when we get to that point. So let me move a couple other things around here. Perhaps talk amongst yourselves.
All right. I am not topless. It's just a
he comes on with a bang.
But my skin tone does appear strangely similar to the shirt that I'm wearing.
Somebody mark that down for a good drop to have for future reference. Anyway, and on that note, we might as well get started.
I'm sorry, I'm the reason you have to watch in low resolution, kind of blur out the look just so you can stomach the show. Sorry about that, Brian.
All right, here we go.
What's up, y'all? It's Devontae Green giving you the green light to watch Assembly Call after every IU game. Just don't listen to their opinions about shot selection. Remember, you miss 100% of the shots you don't take. Go Hoosiers.
Hey, welcome back to the Assembly Call. I'm Andy Bottoms here with Coach Brian Tonsoni and Jared Morris. And it's segment three, which I just found out can only mean one thing. All right, Jared is going to do the honors with this week's subscriber shout-outs.
I actually think that our opinions on shot selection are pretty good and pretty thoughtful. So I'm going to disagree with Devontae. Some of our opinions, maybe not. But I feel like on shot selection, we have a pretty good history. I just want to say that. Let's do some shout-outs. So we didn't do any last week, and so we will make up for that. Our first shout-out goes to Josh Thompson. Josh is from Georgetown, Indiana. His favorite Hoosier is Calbert Chaney. And his Assembly Call leader, he says, is Jared, because he's the only one that I know and have met in person. Josh and I knew each other in college. Fraternity brothers, actually. Says, also, happy birthday, Dad, the role model for his IU fandom since birth. That was his special acknowledgement. Now, I realize, Josh, that you sent this in on April 13th, because we're behind. We had a lot of shout-outs to get through, so it's probably a belated birthday for your dad, but we do wish him a happy birthday. Our next shout out is Nick Smallwood. His location is Greenwood, Indiana, and his favorite IU player is Damon Bailey. He also listed Jared Morris as his Assembly Call leader because I'm also someone that he knew in college, as we were all in Delta Sigma Pi together at Indiana University. And his special acknowledgement, he just says prime times with an exclamation point. That is an inside joke that would take a whole lot of time to unpack. But needless to say, the house that we lived at in college was called Prime Times. And so you can kind of maybe fill in the blanks on that one. But thank you to Josh and Nick. Appreciate your guys' support. We also want to shout out to Mark Self. He's from Scottsburg, Indiana. And he says to follow the Nation of Hoosiers fan page on Facebook. So if you are still on Facebook, you can follow the Nation of Hoosiers fan page there. And then let's see. Let's go with Jack. So Jack Forney, who we all know, have met in Bloomington. His favorite IU player is Alan Henderson. His Assembly Call leader, he says, "You're like my kids. I don't have a favorite." And then for his special acknowledgement, he says his wife, who puts up with his obsession with the Hoosiers. And we all need to give special acknowledgments to our wives and or husbands who put up with our special obsession with these Hoosiers. So there we go. Subscriber shout outs to Jack, to Josh, to Mark, to Nick. You guys are awesome. We love you. Thank you for supporting the Assembly Call.
I appreciate you picking one at the end that didn't have you as chosen as your Assembly Call leader. I was like, that's a pretty bold move to, you know, stroll in here in the middle of the show and then say like, oh, I got these shout outs queued up. There's a whole bunch of
them. He's been saving them since the last time he was on the show, which was April.
I'll be damned if all of them didn't have me as the leader.
Well, here's the thing. You know, we did this a while ago, and obviously my availability has been a lot less since then. I'm guessing if we did this again, I would be listed by many fewer people because they probably would have forgotten that I was on the show in the first place. So that probably should be acknowledged.
Just giving you a hard time. All right. So with that,
at least no one picked Ryan. We can all agree on that.
Well, yes, that's certainly true. All right. So now it's time for the rest of our mailbag. All questions were submitted via our private IU basketball discussion community, which you can learn more about and join at assemblycall.com/community. And we will start off with
It's not that good, but it's not that bad. It's Jay's Mediocre Question.
All right, so Jay's question this week, where is Galen? No, his question is actually, if you were in charge of the IU football game day experience, what is the one change or improvement you would make? Assume cost is not a concern. Coach, I'm going to throw this to you first. It has been a few years since I have been able to actually be at a game, so I'm not sure that I have a great answer for this. I think you are probably the most qualified among us to answer this question.
Yeah, that's interesting. Sammy Jacobs from Hoosier Huddle and I have kicked this around for years on what to do. The stadium is surrounded. Sometimes the parking lot is not filled right around that, and you need to do that for donors. I know that, but you need to create a university run center for tailgating where you have concerts and stuff like that. They have a great place. They have the grass lots they could do that at. You have also the grass portion in lot 10 and 11 where you could have like a carnival-like atmosphere where you have a stage, bring in some local artists to play music, have some vendors, and have people that can walk from their tailgate and congregate close to the stadium. I prefer lot 10 and 11 at grass lot there. There's a lot that you can do with that. Or create something like Mississippi, where there's a walk, where you set up and you ask the people who want to pay money to have good tailgate spots to just, have spots along a way where people can just walk in a common area known like the Grove. Get it started. You have the walk, and that's pretty cool. But something like that, and I'm a big, live entertainment guy. I think adding some local flair to get people down there earlier and just have an atmosphere. The tailgating is pretty good for the people who go down there. I think it's one of the better places and surrounding areas to tailgate, but I would add some sort of entertainment and not, I know they've tried that a few times and in a few places, but make that happen where it's a big thing for people to go see, almost like a college game day atmosphere every day driven by the athletic department.
Those are good. Yeah. Jared, did you have any immediate reaction to this?
No, I agree with Coach. I mean, I think you need like some events, or just like something that people look forward to, some traditions. That's what makes anything related to college sports fun. Some kind of tradition like that. I would also say that the university should sponsor a Cooking with Clavio class where everybody can take a class with Galen for how to cook the best tailgate delicacies, and let's improve the overall food quality by following our tailgate food leader Galen Clavio.
And if you go to his tailgate, don't bring non-brand name chips. I learned that on the podcast. You must bring top brand chips. Pay a couple cents extra, and get under Galen's good side.
Who knew he was such a chip snob?
I know, but man, that stuff matters.
Yeah,
honestly, this is no dude. How many bags of stuff that I bring home? Everyone brings stuff, right? And sometimes we don't eat it all, and then you just bring all this stuff home. And sometimes when you're the host, it's not the brand that you like. So I can see where he's coming from.
Joel does want it to be known that Galen isn't the only cook. That is true. So Joel could also be in on that class with Galen.
Joel's really good cook.
Joel's really good too.
Really good cook. Talks too much, but he's got really good. He's got really good food.
All right. Well, on that. All right. So, Sally had a basketball question. Does anybody know anything about hoops practice? Is the offense installed or the practice is closed? I don't know too much about that. Then the practices are closed at this point. I don't believe there's been too much else, kind of talked about in that regard. I don't know if you guys, there's anything else you guys have heard. There really hasn't been media availabilities or stuff like that to be able to ask anybody some things like that, but any updates on that front that you guys may have stumbled across?
I've only heard the stuff that you would expect, that Trace looks awesome, Tamar Bates is going to challenge for a starting spot. That's been from a couple people. I think Rab John said something of that nature, but I haven't really heard any other specifics beyond that stuff. And I don't really know that I would put too much stock into it anyway. Because I mean, unless we can see practice, you know, or we get, you know, maybe some candid insight from a player saying something that they're not supposed to say. I don't know that we're going to get a whole lot at this point that to put a whole lot of stock into. We'll get an actual snapshot in the Bahamas, you know, when they go there and actually play some games. And again, you don't want to put too much stock into that either, but at least that'll be something where they've had some practices, they're playing against a real team, you know. So nothing beyond that, though.
Practices are generally closed from a coach's standpoint because you just want to get to work. It's your classroom, and you don't want everyone in there. We're all excited about it, and it's not a spectacle. That's where, you know, my Hoosier hysteria love comes from. You know, you only get so many hours to practice and get better, and you want to make sure that they're quality. And coaches will open it up sometimes to fellow coaches and high school coaches to come down and watch practice, but practices are generally closed. The one thing I will add, and again through multiple sites and people saying, is it does seem like there's been an emphasis on installing the defense first over the offense. And again, take that with a grain of salt of who's watching and who's hearing that and how that's being relayed. If that is true, that makes this guy happy. And I know we're all clamoring for better offense because the last 4 years were not very good. And the ball would, you know, we need new rims because the paint wore off from us clanking all the free throws and stuff. But defense wins. Defense will get us in that top three in the Big Ten faster than any offense. And you can't just not play defense. And everyone was talking about Coach Woodson's offense. I'm interested in seeing his defense. And if I remember right, his Atlanta Hawks, he brought in some new way of guarding the pick and roll that a lot of the NBA adopted after that. So, you know, he might be this real creative defensive mind as well as a new type of offensive guy. So that's all that I've heard. And if that's the case, I'm really excited about what he's going to do defensively.
So, Coach, kind of along the same lines, question from Neil. If you were coach, how would you allocate the practice time right now? So how much of that are you spending on skill development versus defense versus offense? Like, kind of how would you
You know, what is there in the regular season, you have 20 hours. In this off season, you have so 4 hour segments, and so much can be with the strength coach and all of that. I would spend, if I had 4 hours a week with every guy, depending on if it can be 2-on-2, whatever, I want to make sure that it is 50% defense, 25% development, 25% offense, because the guys can come in and work on their own. I'd want to get that defense set. Because if it's new and he's bringing in, I really think he's going to guard the ball screen a lot differently with some backside switching, some three-man rotations. The way NBA teams guard this is really going to be interesting to try to break down. That takes a lot of time to know who goes where and who replaces and to put that in. That's what I would do in those short amount of time, because they'll get in the gym and get their workout in. They'll get that individual stuff. And then once I get to the Bahamas, then I'll start working on putting in that offense. And then again, preseason, you put it all in, but you're going to win by guarding, and you're going to play players who guard. And I just think that's extremely, extremely important.
When do they do the yoga and free throws then? When does that happen?
That's in there too. But I'm just wanting to get to, Andy's got to be done by 10:30. I can go through a whole practice plan, but yeah.
50% defense though?
50% defense.
All right.
That's me. I want to stop people. And I believe also in offense I've told you this before, that I would work a lot on defense and free people up on offense with some basic concepts. You go play. You get a stop. I don't care what you do. Go down on offense. Push the ball into a screen and roll and hit the open man and then crash the boards. And I know it's more complicated than that, a lot more complicated than that. But I think we complicate the offense by being two thumbs down as coaches, calling this play, that play. Basketball is a free-moving sport that has to move. And the Christian Lander tweet that came out about pick and rolls, the dude can play. Turn him loose. And players work on that a lot more on their own than they do defense, right? So you're going to play defense the way I want to play. And part of the reward is I'll let you do some of the things you want to do under the umbrella of what we want done, but I think there needs to be freedom. And so
that makes
we're going to make sure that we're going to make sure that defense is set.
Okay. That makes sense.
All right.
I'm sold.
James, if you had to direct an IU,
that's why I've been fired twice and an assistant.
If you had to direct an IU-based Space Jam, who is your all-time IU Jordan in the movie? A player who is very skilled, but also has the personality to inspire a crew of cartoon teammates. Let's handle that one first, because then there's a second part of this question. I feel like Oladipo, at least of recent players, feels like the answer to that from a personality standpoint. But I don't know if you guys have other nominees that you would throw out there for that as well.
Yeah, I think for that case, it's got to be. Not that he's like the best player or anything, but to fill that role, yeah, I think it would be Victor.
All right. So the next part, and perhaps the more fun part of the question, and as James puts it, and more importantly, who are the historic or current Big Ten players you would choose to be on the Monstars?
Oh, boy. Oh, that's a good one. Purdue. Okay.
Yeah. I mean,
yeah, Ethan, I would, Ethan I mean, Happ, I guess,
feel like, for sure.
I always go back to See, I always go back to when I was a younger fan, because those guys just seem kind of larger than life. Like Jim Jackson would be on there. Glenn Robinson would be on there. A.C. Earl would be on there. You know, some of those guys that were really good in the early 90s when the Big Ten was actually stacked and really good, like the Fab Five guys. I'd put them. Those are the Monstars. And Jamie Skelton, because for whatever reason, he always made shots. Oh, Joel says any Iowa thug. Yeah, Iowa's got like Adam Woodbury. He would be on there.
Steve Scheffler.
Yeah.
Throwback.
Matt Stiginga.
Yeah, there. Yeah, you
Matt Tendam.
You named a lot of the ones that I would have thought of from our youth.
Oh, Nick Anderson.
Yeah, that was the one.
Screw you, Nick Anderson.
That was the one that you, as you were talking of guys. I was like, yeah, he would be one just for one moment. So yeah, I'll say that. Yeah, Hap more recently would probably be there. Yeah, I think those are the
ones. Jim Rowinski, that's a good one.
From my time there, it would be Chad Austin would also be on there. From
oh god.
Just hit a couple.
Brian Cardinal.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of good answers to this. I think we've filled up the roster of the Monstars there. All right. James with another question. If you could retroactively make a current NBA superstar an IU grad, which one do you think would have the biggest positive influence on IU's brand right now? Not who you think would have been most likely to win at IU previously, but who would get current recruits most excited about the program's legacy and brand?
Whoa. I mean, it's easy to be a prisoner of the moment and say Giannis, but yeah. I think he would be an amazing representation of what you want Indiana basketball to be about, just with his humility, his work ethic, his team first attitude. I've become a huge, I mean, as I'm sure people across America have, but I've just become a huge fan of his. The more that you learn about him and watch him play, he's phenomenal. And given the fact that they just won a title, you know, him. But actually, you know who the other one would be? I think would be Damian Lillard. I think he would be a really good one too, because he's, you know, kind of cool. He's, you know, kind of, you know, plays that modern style. He's a shooter, you know, good offense first player. I think he's got a lot of cachet. So he would be another one.
What about Steph Curry? Small, undersized shooter, Indiana type kid. You know, Indiana guys can shoot. I know he's been in the league for a while and might have not have the flair of some of the younger guys. But boy, we need shooting, and that would represent that. I'm not a big follower of the NBA, and a couple of guys are Kentucky guys, and I wouldn't even mention, you know, them just because they went to Kentucky to even think of that. But
Tyler has redeemed himself. He has another good one, which is Luka.
Yes.
Luka would be a great one. I mean, he's, you know, with the modern day Larry Bird, you know, that would obviously fit the Indiana motif.
Yeah. I was tempted to say Giannis, but I wasn't sure how much of that was just, you know, being in the moment. And if this question had been asked a month ago, if I'd have given a different answer, but
I mean, he is the two-time MVP and Defensive Player of the Year, you know, so it's not like he just came out of nowhere to win this title.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Totally fair. All right.
By the way, did you guys watch a lot of the finals?
I watched hardly any of it, to be honest.
Like, I was actually able to watch some of it, you know, because it was on late. And man, every time I watched Drew Holiday play, all I could think of is Archie Miller must have loved watching him. He's like the ideal Archie Miller type player. You know, he's an incredible defensive player and he just disrupts everything when he's guarding the ball. But he is such an inconsistent offensive player. He'll have games where he goes like 2 for 19 and then other games where he's just, you know, dynamite and an incredible player. Overall, he was awesome. He was obviously a big part of the reason why they won. But he was just like such a quintessential Archie player where it's like the defense is always good. He'd be the perfect Archie defender. But then the offense is just all over the place, you know, never have any idea what you're going to get from him. But it was a really fun series, I thought. I had kind of low expectations for it, but I thought, you know, especially the last few games, they were really fun to watch.
All right. So from Kathy, what football game are you most looking forward to because you think it has the biggest potential for IU to surprise people? Coach, thoughts on this one?
Well, it'll have to be Ohio State.
There's only one at this point, right?
Yeah. I think Ohio State's the only one that really, truly would surprise someone. You know, obviously winning on the road at Iowa is going to be difficult, but there's not a team on Indiana's schedule that I'd be surprised they beat other than Ohio State. So for the surprise part of that, I'm really looking forward to the Iowa. I get to meet Kathy and her husband. Brent and Amy and I are going out there for the weekend, and Mediocre Jay's going out, and Galen's going out, and some guys from Hoosier Huddle. So, and it's football, and it's a stadium full of people again, and you can tailgate. So the one I'm looking most forward to is that first game, but Ohio State for the surprise.
Raise some hell out there. We owe Iowa for the crap from last year, so make sure you leave your mark. Don't get arrested, but yeah, you know, on, make sure Iowa me, City knows you were there.
Oh boy!
And live stream it too.
Some of the guys at Hoosier Huddle got a parking spot in the top donor lot. It's like $15,000 donor or more lot. They somehow bought it somewhere, secured it somewhere. So yeah, like we're gonna be with the real. Stop by and walk through the real big one. So I hope I make the game.
Okay.
Jared, do you have a potentially different answer or different slant on this?
No. If the question is the biggest chance to surprise, then the only answer from a winning perspective is Ohio State. Now, if you want to think surprise in a bad way, you know, I think there's a lot of games where you kind of look at it and it could go either way. You know, you wouldn't be shocked if Indiana wins, but you wouldn't be surprised if they lost. Cincinnati, Iowa, Michigan, Penn State. Like, these are all teams that if Indiana doesn't bring a good game, they're going to lose. But if they play well, they'll have a very good chance to win. So I think the only other surprise really would be, you know, losing to some, you know, podunk outfit like Purdue or someone else like that. That would be surprising because we're a lot better and we have a better roster than they do. So that's the only thing I would say. But, Coach, I do want to ask you, you know, if you're in Iowa City and you're in the high roller lot, you know, and you've had a little bit to drink and you're having some fun, and Fran McCaffrey comes walking by and he's had a little bit to drink and he's having a little bit of fun. What would you say to Fran?
I'd tee him up. Boom.
Just for looking at you funny?
Just for looking. No. You know, as much as I don't like Fran, I'd probably want to talk basketball with him. I mean, he is a Division I coach, and sloppily introduce myself and he'd walk away or get me pushed away by his security detail. But coaches are coaches. Even coaching, it's like pizza, you know. There's pizza that's really good and there's pizza that's not so good, but it's pizza, you know. So I would be in awe of being able to talk to a Big Ten basketball coach regardless of whether I liked him or not.
So if your recommendation is 50% defense, 25% offense, 25% skill development, what percentage of Iowa's practices so far have been allotted to defense?
2%.
10%?
And that's just racking the basketball so no one gets injured. Defending the injuries, that's all they're working on.
you know, I to go back to the question, I mean, the Ohio State one, I think, is the obvious one that would really be a surprise. But I think that Iowa game is an important one, too. I think it would be easy for people to chalk up last season as COVID year. Maybe it's a fluke, things like that. To go on the road to open the season in a, you know, team that's always tough to play, to really be able to do that, I think there's some people to be surprised. I don't know that IU fans would necessarily be surprised, and maybe that's the important distinguishing part of the question is like, who are you surprising? But I think that might be, you know, those first few weeks really give them a good chance to establish, hey, this wasn't a fluke. There was nothing, you know, strange about what happened. This is really the trajectory that the program's on. So I'll throw it out there. Even going to Penn State, I have no idea what Penn State's supposed to be like this year, but it's one thing to, you know, have beaten those teams at home, but to really go on the road to a place like that and win that, that might be another one. But again, I don't know, feel like I know enough about Penn State to know what they're really supposed to be this year versus just normally expecting them to be at least reasonably good.
Yeah, I would actually, I think I agree with you. You know, we shouldn't be so quick to just say that it wouldn't be surprising if Indiana won at Penn State or at Michigan. You know, those are tough road games. And so, you know, we're kind of on this trajectory with Indiana football where everything is up, but we don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves. You know, like we still need to, the Penn State game was kind of one of those games where you weren't the better team all game long and you kind of pulled it out at the end and you needed some breaks to happen. Now they beat the hell out of Michigan. But I think if you go on the road and win those two games, I think that would be surprising to do both of them. Penn State probably more than Michigan, because Michigan doesn't project to be quite as good. But I think if we're being fair with this team, that would still be a pleasant surprise, I think. Because winning on the road is hard, and, man.
But being a surprise is not, to me, is like there's, you wouldn't believe it if it happened. And when it happens, that's a huge surprise. You know, I think we're on par with Michigan, close to being on par with Michigan, close to being on par with Penn State as far as football programs. The road makes a difference, yes. But if we beat them, I'm not going to be shocked.
No, I wouldn't be shocked.
It'll take a great effort.
Yes.
It'll take a great effort, and we'll have to get the breaks and everything, but I wouldn't be shocked. Ohio State's just in another league from everyone, is why I think surprising fits that. It's nice to have a football program where you're not really looking at this like, we got to win these seven because these are the only seven we're going to win, and the other four in the Big East. I don't feel that way anymore. It's like, yeah, I would pick Penn State and Michigan over Indiana, but we're going to go in there and they're going to have to play well to beat us, which wasn't always the case.
True. All right. So last question from the great Bob Thompson. Heard some good tailgating food tips on IU podcast. Haven't heard much about good hoops food. What are your go-to foods when watching IU basketball games on TV? Now, I don't know that we are the best people to answer this question, because more often than not, when we have a show going on, you're so focused on kind of like taking notes and thinking about things and how angles that you're going to hit for the show that there isn't typically a lot of time for eating. I will sometimes try to like eat dinner really fast at halftime while I have a few minutes or something like that. So I don't, this may not be the best panel to answer this question, but you guys, Jared, do you have any thoughts on this one?
No, I agree. It's, for me, it's always like, if we're prepping for a show, there's really no food being eaten because there's a lot to do. And if I'm not prepping for a show and actually just getting to watch it, then there's lots of nervous pacing. So it's got to be like, for me, it's got to be something like pizza, where you can just like grab it with a hand real quick, take a bite, put it down, forget about it for a little while, go back to it, you know, 10 minutes later, grab another bite. It's a different experience. You know, football, there's so much time, you know, there's lots of different things you can eat, you know, for a football game. But, you know, basketball, especially when the action's on, you know, you want to be focused on the action. And yeah, you have timeouts, but yeah, I don't know. Maybe other people might have better answers, but I've never been one that does a whole lot of eating. Certainly no healthy eating during a basketball game.
Joel's answer was antacids and booze. So, I mean, there's certainly options within that realm.
Spoken like the president of the Archie Miller fan club.
Yeah. It has to be something fast. Like you said, pizza. A lot of times I'm coming home from practice and getting home at 6:20, 6:30. If it's a 7 o'clock game, you're grabbing something at a restaurant on the way home. But I agree with you guys. I try to get that done before the game because you're taking notes and watching a game, you know. So
Yeah, if we're just talking general snacking, like I'm a like put chips and salsa in front of me and I'll just eat the whole thing until it's gone. So that like guacamole, buffalo chicken dip, that kind of stuff. But that's not really typically the things that I'm actually having during games at this point. So so yeah, I don't know. I don't like I said, maybe there's better answers for that than we would give. But so
yeah.
All right. Well,
that's it. We're done. No more questions.
All right. Well, that will do it for tonight's show. Thank you for joining us on this week's episode of the Assembly Call. If you want to see us do the show live, join us at assemblycall.com on Thursday nights for the live broadcast of our Assembly Call radio recording. Special thanks to Bob Thompson for producing a lot of music that you hear on the show. And thank you for listening. We'll talk to you again in 2 weeks. We're planning to take next week off. And until then.
Take it from me, Jordan Halls. Keep your elbow in and your eyes on the rim. And go Hoosiers.
Thank you. Thanks for coming out.
I like everything about that.
Hey, the show's over. Here I come, Coach Tonsoni.
Woo! See you guys.
Nice.
Haven't had a chance to use that.
That's good.
And in the holster waiting too.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. All right.
Well, thanks for having me, guys.
Hey, glad you
could join us. That
was fun. Hey, good to have you back.
Yeah, it's fun to be here.
Glad you could join us. So
fun to be here.
Yeah, so we're planning to take next week off. I don't know when the NBA draft is.
Next week, yes.
Yeah, I don't know if it's next Thursday.
Might be next Thursday, actually.
That honestly has nothing to do with why we're not doing the show, but if it is, it'll conveniently fill the time for those that need it. But anyway, so we'll be back in first Thursday in August, and we'll go from there.
See where Luka Garza gets drafted.
Absolutely. Perhaps nowhere. We'll see. We shall see. But anyway, all right, cool. Well, chat mom. Cool. Thank you, everybody, for being here.
Thanks, everyone.
Appreciate it. And we will talk soon. Everybody take care. Stay safe.
Ted Lasso released tomorrow.
That could be. Yeah, I toyed with that as a potential banner moment for that. But we started watching it again.
Man, it's better the second time through. What a good show.
We did the same thing. We rewatched it. So now we're all queued up and ready to go for tomorrow.
Coach, you've watched that, haven't you?
No, I have not.
Coach. You are going to love Ted Lasso. Of all the people in my life who I know, I feel like you would like it and appreciate it more than anybody.
All right, I'm going to have to find it. And
you have to watch it.
Watch it. I will watch it. I just watch sports, man. It's sports or the news.
It is, but this is sports.
That's it. I know.
No, it is. It's a really good show. And Amy will like it too. Like, it's a sports show that you can watch with your
wife. I got to watch it with her?
You don't have to, but, you know.
All right.
It is. It's good. You need
She's
to watch
looking
it.
For a new show. So
there you go. There's your answer.
Yeah. Yeah. You should watch
it. Your answer. All right. Awesome. All right. Thanks, cool. guys.
See you guys.
Good seeing
you. All right. We'll see you,
coach. Thanks,
you
everybody.
Too.